Our reading this morning will come from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah in verses 1 through 16. It is amazing, though we ought not to be surprised, that the Old Testament has such detail concerning what's going to take place in the New Testament, particularly the death, the life, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of His blood. And you can trace in the gospel accounts, right here in this very chapter, and learn a great deal that appears on the pages of the four gospels. Isaiah 42, verse 1, Christ is spoken of as Jehovah's servant. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench, until he shall bring forth judgment. And I, for some reason, I've written justice in my margin unto truth. Justice unto truth. Now listen carefully. Verse 4. Speaking of our Lord Jesus, over 700 years before he came into this world at Bethlehem, we are told in the plainest of language, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles, the coast, shall wait for his law. So the Jesus of the Bible cannot fail. He cannot be discouraged. He cannot achieve anything short of what God's eternal purpose is concerning this world and all its inhabitants and concerning you and concerning me. And for a preacher to tell you that the Lord Jesus wants something from you but you won't give it to him, that's a lie. Plain and simple, it's just a lie. I want to tell you what was on a church sign recently. If you were here Wednesday night, you've already heard it. On the billboard outside, University of Financial Peace. That's where religion, that's how far it's fallen from what we've just read. Now you tell me there's not a difference. Yes, it's a different God. And if you don't believe that, if you don't know that, I don't know where you've been living, but it ain't in these United States. Verse 5, pardon the interruption, verse 5, thus says the God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth, and that which comes out of it, He that gives breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, God the Father speaking to God the Son, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand and will keep you, and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, for this purpose, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Now, have we ever been a prisoner? Because if we ain't ever been saved either. We're still a prisoner. Verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images or any other mental or physical misconception of who God is. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise from the end of the earth. You that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles, the coast, and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar or darkness doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord, the Lord God Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and declare His praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long time held my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I'll make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I'll make the rivers islands and I'll dry up the pools. And I'll bring the blind. This is our text for this morning, verse 16. Speaking of what our Lord Jesus is purposed to accomplish. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. There is no such thing as being born into the human race and knowing the God of the Bible or knowing His Son, the Lord Jesus. I know Mama taught us to sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," when we were still in diapers. But I don't make it so. It is not so until we're born again. We're prisoners to sin. I'll bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I'll make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Now let's take this 16th verse and carefully examine what is in front of us. Let's ask the Lord to open this text and this passage to give us by His grace in Christ an understanding of it, to make me to know beyond a shadow of a doubt if I'm in Christ or out of Christ, if I'm lost or saved. We are one or the other. We're born lost. We're saved when we're born again. May we pray. Lord, as we have read and heard read the statements that make up these first 16 verses in Isaiah 42, we are amazed at how many years many of us carried a Bible, claimed to believe it from cover to cover, and never knew such statements as this existed. We avoided these places like the plague. And now, after long years of religious darkness, You've been pleased to open to us this book. And our purpose this morning in coming to this text is that for any who are gathered with us in this place, who have not truly bowed to the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the necessity of His blood being shed for my sin, and for His earning and imputing to me a righteousness that can never fade away. Oh, how we beg that Your blessing would rest upon Your Word. We dare not trust in ourselves. We tried that for many, many years. But Lord, unless You speak, hearing a preacher's voice is to no avail. Help us, we beg. Lift up Your Son, the only Savior for sinners. We pray in His dear name. Amen. All right, let's work on this verse. The title of this message, if you're interested, is The Spiritually Blind. The Spiritually Blind. Spurgeon has an excellent illustration of this blindness. There are actually four kinds of blindness. Four kinds. He said that when you left the tabernacle in London, going in a certain direction, the first street to the left was St. George's Road. And when you got to the end of that road, there were three asylums. One on the right, one on the left, and one in the middle. The one on the right was for the physically blind. That's one kind of blindness. That's not what this chapter is talking about. On the left-hand side of that street, there's another asylum, and it's for the, I believe he called it the mentally blind. You know, people who don't have all they need up here. Your elevator doesn't go all the way up or something. You know, how we use all kinds of terms to speak of things like this. But those are two kinds of blindness, physical and mental. And then in the middle was St. George's Catholic Cathedral, And those people were spiritually blind. Spiritually blind. Now that's the state in which all of us are born. And just so you know, I'm not picking on the Catholics. There's Baptist, Methodist, every other kind of religion you can name. Every religion on the face of this earth, except the one in which Christ is everything, is lost. Spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, and therefore spiritually blind. But the question is, am I blind spiritually? And if the answer is no, and I'd be tickled to death to know it if you hadn't told me previously. But I'll have to ask you one other question. When did the blindness leave you? When did the scales fall off our eyes? I know for me it was a long, long, long time. I thought I was doing something for God, and I didn't even know Him. Did not know Him. All right, let's look at this. My first point is, who are these blind people that our Lord is speaking of in this chapter? These are people who know that they are spiritually blind. Now, we won't have time to look at, I don't think we will, I may, but I don't want to risk it. I'll just cite you something in 1 Timothy chapter 1 at about verse 13. When Paul is describing himself in that same famous chapter that says, this is a, what kind of saying, Craig? Huh? This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul adds, of whom I'm chief. Well, in that same passage leading up to that verse, he uses this specific language. I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and so forth. So what I'm trying to ask you is, were you ever blind spiritually? If the answer is no, we're still blind. You don't get rid of blindness, you know, just by making up your mind that you're gonna try to do better, you're gonna straighten up and fly right, and you know, and all this kind of stuff. That's not true religion. That's man-made religion. That's all it is. People who do not have a before cannot have an after. Now that's simple enough, isn't it? Most of us are people who thought that our old religion was sight. You know, the Baptist religion gave us sight. Oh, how awfully, awfully disappointed we are. Who are these blind people? They are people, now listen carefully, whose hope is an unseen Christ. Now you understand that to see Christ with natural eyes, it just ain't worth talking about. There's nothing to it. Just nothing to it. The blind man in John chapter 9, after he was born blind and our Lord gave him sight, and he saw the Lord Jesus and our Savior ask him, do you believe on the Son of God? And here he is face to face with him. And he said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And our Savior, in only the second time that I know of in the Bible, besides the Samaritan woman and now the man born blind in John chapter 9, the Lord said, "I that speak unto you am he." And he said, "Lord, I believe." But now he knew him by physical sight before he knew him by spiritual sight. I don't doubt you might have read the Bible forever, but that doesn't that doesn't turn the light on. This is a miracle of God's grace. You remember in John chapter 20 when Thomas had been absent from our Lord's first resurrection appearance to the apostles? And when they told John that Christ was alive from the dead, he laid down certain conditions that he would not believe it until he put his finger in the holes in his hand and put his hand in his side. And the very next time our Lord revealed himself to them, Thomas was present. And just between me and you, he was present the first time. They just couldn't see him. He said, "Thomas, come over here a minute. There's my hand and there's my side." He said, "Until I do that, I will not believe that he's alive from the dead." Now he falls on his face. Oh my. I do want you to turn. I'm not going to say this is the last one now, because I'm saving the best one, if there is such a thing. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 8. Speaking of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. Believing without literally seeing. Believing spiritually without physical sight. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. Given the time in which we live, we have no other alternative except to believe a Christ whom we cannot see. And the only events, I think, the only event that can change that is when our Lord returns. And if I understand it, that brings the end, and time is no more. Whom having not seen, we love. All right, my second question. What is this promise that is made to these blind people? Look here in the first two parts of verse 16 in Isaiah 42. Here's the first part of it. And then there's a second. I'm going to include both of them. And then we'll deal with the latter part of this verse in just a bit. The first one in verse 16 of Isaiah 42. "And I'll bring the blind by a way that they knew not." This is not some familiar path. We've never walked this way before. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Those are the first two things that I want to deal with this question. All right? What promise is made to these blind people? God Himself will be the guide of His people when they are made to feel their blindness. And the precious Lord Jesus is the light of the world. Now I want to deal with a string beginning in verse 14 and taking us through the end of our text. I would like to point out some things that have this language. I will. God declaring that He will. Let's pick up. We won't read the whole statement. We'll try to pick them up. In verse 14, now will I cry. So you can turn that around and say, I will cry like a travailing woman, a woman in labor, giving birth. I will destroy and devour at once. Verse 15. And I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up their herbs, and I'll make the rivers islands, and I'll dry up the pools. Now we slow down. Verse 16. There's something like nine I wills in just the short space of a few verses. All right, verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. But preacher, what if a person doesn't want to be drawn to Christ? Who do we think God is that He can't give us a want to? He can make the most delicious food we've ever put on our tongue to be like poison to us. And He could make His Son, the Lord Jesus, who is nothing in our eyes, to be everything. Now, I understand that if salvation is this way, salvation is of the Lord. You should know that by now. I'll bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I'll lead them in paths that they've not known. I'll make darkness light before them. Make darkness light. What before was undiscernible to me, I see now most clearly. Everything between God and a sinner is in our Lord Jesus Christ. No place else. It ain't what I do plus His. It's all Him. It's all Him. It has to be. Everything we touch is contaminated with our sin. I'll make darkness light and crooked things straight. These things will I will do unto them, and not... Add another one, I will not forsake them. God never begins with us and then leaves us because we're too stubborn to this, to that, or to the other. I mean, we're talking about God. We ain't talking about people. Now I want you to carefully, I'll say it out loud and you just say it however you do it, from your eyes to your brain and to your heart. All right? Verse 16, Isaiah 42. I will bring the blind. Only the blind. only the spiritually blind. God will bring the blind by a way, and just who is that way? Our Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I'll bring the blind by a way that they knew not. We'd have lived to be 1,000 years old. We would never figure it out. Salvation is by revelation. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. If you told me about 35, 40 years ago, if you'd have told me that I'd be preaching to a handful of people like we have this morning, I wouldn't for a minute have believed that God could be in such a thing. But I had rather have 10 of you than 1,000 of the others. How preachers keep from going insane, I do not know. There's something all the time. All the time. These things I will do unto them. Now see if you can get a hold of this one. Now I'm adding the I will because it's a part of, there's one I will for two little endings. This is the second ending. I will not forsake them. What about when Christians stumble and fall? I will not forsake them. What about this or that or the other? I'm telling you, there ain't no way for a child of God to perish. There ain't no way. It cannot happen. Cannot happen. Now, let's turn to John chapter 9. I didn't mean to address your attention to that text a little while ago, but I don't think that'll hurt anything. I've got it marked and I'm going through here like I don't. There it is. John chapter 9. This blind man is lying at the pool of Siloam. And at certain periods, supposedly, angels came and stirred up the water, and the first person in the pool was healed. This man has had this infirmity some 38 or 9 years, I forget which. And every time the angel comes and stirs the water, someone else beats him in the pool. And so our Lord comes upon this scene. There's a lot of folks here in bad shape, but our Lord directs His attention to one person. One person. Salvation is not done in mass. It's one at the time. One. And our Lord gave this man sight, physical sight. And the Pharisees start questioning him, and at first he didn't even know who it was that had made him whole. And then he found out, and he thought the Pharisees wanted to know so they could honor him, honor Christ or something, you know. Being very naive, the man did not understand why they wanted to know, and so he went and told them. And so they began then to quiz this man and to do their best to change his story. And the old boy gets bolder as time progresses in John chapter 9. It is amazing. He ain't backing up for nothing or nobody. And so they kicked him out of the Jews' religion. It says they kicked him out of the synagogue, and I'm pretty sure that means out of the temple as well. But our Lord finds him. And that's how it is with you and me. He finds us, and then we find Him. If He waits for us to find Him, He'll wait in vain. So He says to this man in verse 35, "Our Lord heard that they had cast him out, and when He had found him, He said unto him, 'Do you believe on the Son of God?' And the man said, 'Who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him?'" What do you mean, who is He? You're looking at Him. He's talking to you. "And our Lord said to him, 'You've both seen Him, and it is He that talks with you.' And the man said, 'Lord, I believe,' and he worshipped Him." Now, starting right here to the end of the chapter, remember what we're talking about? The spiritually blind. The spiritually blind. And Jesus said, this is verse 39, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Now boy, that's a wrinkle. People who claim to see are then made judicially blind, permanently blind, by the way. "And some of the Pharisees," verse 40, "which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, 'Are we blind also?'" Now this was the Jewish religion's, you know, number one group. These people were it. They had all the answers. They had everything. "Are we blind also?" I wish you'd promise me that today you'll reread these verses at the end. I won't even ask you to read all of John 9, just starting at verse 35, and most especially verse 40 and 41. "Jesus said unto them, 'If you were blind, spiritually now, you wouldn't have any sin. You see? But now you say, "We see," therefore your sin remains." Now if that ain't some strange language, I don't know what is. But it ought to be plain as day to us. These Pharisees believed, I mean to the bottom of their shoes, that they knew just about everything about God and about the coming Messiah, about the kingdom, and everything else in between. And they don't know anything. Why? They think they can see, but they're blind. But listen, if you're here and you think I'm talking to you, I probably am. But here's one who's been there, exactly in that same shape, and so were many of you. And God, by a miracle of His grace in Christ, found us where we are, where we were, and brought us to faith in Christ. Purely and only and altogether by grace. And what I'm trying to tell you is, that's how God works. That's how He does business with sinners. And He never fails. The Lord Jesus, remember, cannot fail. For that matter, He can't even be discouraged or disappointed. Because He's God. Let's see, the song is in the chorus book.